Marlon McDavidson is with us for our regular Monday morning chat. Tēnā koe, tuhine.
Morena, atamari, kia koutou, kia ora, Dale.
Tēnā koe, thanks for joining us. Today's the anniversary of us going nuclear free. This was on the 8th of June back in 1987. Fortunately, it appears it's one thing that is being somewhat left untouched. But as a proud nation who stood nuclear free and continues to do so, what message does that send to our global community? And how can we whakamana our position? How can we grow our reputation with a principled stance, as was the case back in 1987 as a nation? Your thoughts, please, Marama.
Well, that is a tauira, an example to ourselves and to the world that collectively we can take power back. I think we've got so many of those examples, Dale, of when our communities, our regular people stand together, we can demand the country that we aspire to for our mokopuna, for ourselves. We've also made it clear that, you know, that was a principled moral stance, Dale. And we've made many of them as a country, not bowing down to other nations like we currently seem to be doing with the billions and billions and billions of dollars circled off for defence spending to please Trump, but actually standing on our own independent, principled, moral values of what we believe in, having an independent foreign policy, being able to make our decisions for ourselves, which is the most resilience that we can create for our people, is by having an independent foreign policy and a stance on our defence spending and a stance on, you know, no matter what other countries are doing, we have said no to nukes. And I really want to mihi, it was ordinary people, Dale, on the streets in our communities who made that happen. I think it's a really good message for all of us today, thinking about an election coming up, thinking about an Aotearoa we can create instead of what this government are burning to the ground. And there's a message of hope and action in there for all of us.
Tēnā koe, when we're looking at such desperate circumstances, our economy is in tatters, the price or cost of living is absurd, and we're still to deal with the raft of price increases that will come on the 1st of July. At the very same time, I noticed that we are spending, is it close to 2.6 billion New Zealand dollars for 5 Seahawk helicopters. You've touched on this as marrying up to an expectation of the United States, and it's a geographically isolated country. How do you gauge that sort of spend, bearing in mind the social challenges that we have back home, spending that sort of money on armaments, Marama?
Well, I gauge that spend, Dale, by contrasting that with the government's own, the Treasury's own report, which says that the policies that this government have made and the spending that they have decided on in this budget will leave children living in poverty, will not reach the targets that this very government set. They lowered the bar, Dale. They came into government and they decided that the child poverty targets in law that previous governments had set were too high. They said that they didn't have that aspiration to end material hardship for children, so they lowered the bar. And their own report in this budget said that they are not going to, they're going to leave Tamariki and the whānau in material hardship, while at the same time they managed to find billions and billions of dollars for military spending. They've found billions of dollars for fossil fuel barons, for tax company tax breaks, sorry, tobacco company tax breaks, and for wealthy property investors. So how I gauge that is to be able to see what they value, who they value, who this government values, and knowing that actually it doesn't have to be this way. We can insist that a basic agreement of our country, a moral obligation, a whakapapa obligation, is to bring people through material hardship into having what they need to live with dignity, whānau and their children. So that's one way, one very clear way of gauging those spends.
Tēnā koe. I'm obliged to ask you then what the Greens would do about defence of our nation. Thoughts, please.
The strongest resilience that we can plan for in our country remains, Dale, having an independent approach to foreign policy, not being up for hire for Trump just because he says something and then we jump in line. Foreign principled and consistent independent foreign policy is what we need to be focused on, Dale, and our spending instead should be focused on strengthening our country's resilience. That is ensuring that we invest in building homes for people, in incomes that families can live with dignity on, and making sure we've got the infrastructure supporting our public transport so that it's affordable and efficient, investing in clean, renewable energy to bring people's power bills down, real investment into bringing down the cost of living for our people is what is going to hold us over for no matter what happens in the world that we do not have control over, is making sure domestically our country, our people are standing strong.
It is very trusting though, isn't it? When we consider back in the 40s, the Japanese bombed Darwin. There were Japanese subs in New Zealand. There were German raiders off our shores. So in a practical sense, again, obliged to talk about defence here, what if some country, and I don't know which one might do it, but decided to invade our country? What attitude then? This is what your opponents are saying. We've got to be ready. We need friendships. We need AUKUS. We need the US. We need Australia to rely on our ANZAC relationship. I don't want to be a warmonger here, but if something untoward of that nature occurred, where does that leave us from the Green Party viewpoint?
Well, that's why we can't just be sitting around waiting for that, Dale. That's why an independent foreign policy is what we need to be investing in, rather than waiting for who might turn up. So, Dale, and, you know, actually don't take my word for it. Take the word of Helen Clark at the United Nations, who knows a thing or two. This is her specialty area, and she's been very clear. Our little spending, you know, which is big spending in the overall picture of spending in defence, Dale, it's not going to make a big difference. We are a smaller country. What on earth do we think we're going to do? You know, a few helicopters, a few ships. So on the one hand, you've got us trying to think that we can spend up, and it still isn't going to make a big difference here. We're here. Our best defence, our preventative measures, are not to hook ourselves to other warmongering countries, is not to make ourselves a target by hooking ourselves to any other warmongering targets. So the Greens are not sitting here waiting for ships and subs to be off our shores. We are being very clear that the investment that we need to make is preventative, which is having an independent foreign policy.
Tēnā koe, and fostering those relationships, which is what really is at the core of Te Ao Māori. Nurture and respect those relationships. So this is doable. Many of our trading partners are deemed to be the very threat that exists to our national security and therefore the defence ties with both Australia and New Zealand, which I noticed Luxon with Albanese today. They're getting nuclear-powered subs. Does that mean we have to? And the ANZAC relationship, while proud, you know, also reminds us that superpowers send our men without much thought up those hills, and it sometimes unnecessarily. You were 603 Urban Māori Radio. Marama Davidson with us. It's 4 minutes to eight. Well, with the election approaching and commentary noting a lack of bold relief for the cost of living crisis, where do the Greens go here to shift the political narrative, Marama, rather than simply responding to the coalition government's agenda?
Well, Aye. And our people deserve to hear the solutions and not just holding this government to account. Which is why I've been really, really proud that our people have seen the Green Party this entire term putting out those very solutions. Just as a result of the fossil fuel crisis this year, it was the Greens who said, let's make public transport free for 3 months to start off with. That would be a solution to cost of living. It would bring down the reliance and dependence on diesel and leave it for those who really desperately need it when we've got a supply issue. We've said that we would invest in solar panels on roofs, on houses, marae, schools, again, bringing down cost of living for whānau and also ensuring that we are moving our country to electrification, moving our country away from its dependence on fossil fuels, because we do not have to haul the sun, the wind, the water and rain through the Hormuz Strait. You do not have to depend on what mood Donald Trump wakes up in, whether he's going to start a war or not, when we have built up our own locally produced, New Zealand produced clean energy. These are the sorts of solutions that the Greens have continued to put out there this entire term. We've put out, you know, the sorts of solutions where you saw us put out a jobs plan where we can instead have our people up and down the country building homes that our communities need, protecting our environment with green jobs, building the public infrastructure, whether it's pipes and public transport that our people and communities deserve. And all of these jobs would also help to bring down the cost of living. So I'm really proud that the Greens keep turning up with the solutions. We call the government out. We hold them to account, absolutely. But we have always continued to provide the policies, the plans, the solutions, and we will keep doing that.
Tēnā koe. And one of those is for those who are well-heeled to pay more. I mean, the line is tax the rich. Explain that and why this is important when we see such an imbalance of who has a financial resource in our land.
Well, far too long we have only taxed people who earn and not people who own, Dale. So our cleaners, our bus drivers, our retail workers, our hospos, nurses, ECE, police, firefighters. We tax people who earn wages for a living. We have not taxed people who own wealth, people with 20, 30, 40 houses. And that is not right. It's also not sustainable. That is resource that has been built on the backs of our communities, keeping wages low, and has been built on the back of exploitation of our living systems, and how the mess of that is left with communities, but not the wealth of it. So, yep, we are very proud and blatant and unapologetic that we need to redistribute wealth. That is where that untapped resource can actually be properly shared back into our public services, back into our communities where it has always belonged.
Tēnā koe, we always appreciate our Monday morning kōrero. Thanks. Travel well for the week ahead. Looking forward to our next chat as well. Mauri ora, Tuihine. Thanks so much, Marama.
Mauri ora, kia koe. Kia ora,
Tēnā koe. Marama Davidson, Monday mornings at around 7:45.